Joining us now on the program, a great guest to have on, the wealth of information. He represents folks up in, I guess, St. Clair County, just northeast of Birmingham. State Senator Jim McClendon joins us on the line. Senator, thank you so much for coming on this morning.
Jeff, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you as well, yeah. I wanted to get you on, just our audience, just to catch them up. You dealt with the COVID-19 virus. You experienced it. And we had, Senator Gudger on to talk about this as well, but he told me that, yeah, actually contracting the virus and seeing how serious it is firsthand and being aware really changed his outlook on things. From your perspective, having dealt with it in a very serious manner, it sounds like, what was that like? Does it change anything, any preconceived notions you had about it as we stand here today?
Yeah, you know, Senator Gudger was confined to his den at home. I think his wife locked him up. So he was in his den while I ended up in the hospital for about a week and a half. So there was a difference in the severity of the cases. And, you know, one of the things I picked up in the COVID unit was a lot of it has to do with the dose that you got. My wife had a mild case, and I had a hospital case. And we think the difference in the two is just how strong a dose she picked up versus what I did. But, yeah, I talked with Senator Gudger when it was going on. But as far as changing my perspective, I thought I was terribly cautious before. I was a dedicated mask wearer, and I tell you one thing I learned, Jeff, is that I can't fix anybody. You know, those people that are not going to wear a mask and really don't seem to worry about the welfare of others, there's not a darn thing I can do except avoid them. So it turns out, you know, a mandate to wear a mask, that didn't work. We say it doesn't work here in Alabama. I don't think it works anywhere. People resent you coming down on them. But what you can do as an individual is you can just avoid those folks and avoid going places where you have people that don't show that respect for others. And that's how I look at the mask. When I wear a mask, it's to help other people out, not me. And when I get around folks that are not willing to wear a mask, I get a little bit more perturbed than I probably should, but I've also figured out I can't fix them, can't do anything about it. All I can do is stay away from them.
I mean, it really is that you got to take care of yourself, and you got to you really got to take in personal responsibility as a virtue and do what's right for you. You can't expect, like you said, government or any policy to really be the fix here, at least until there's a vaccine.
Yeah, we've got lots of folks, and I've seen them, and they speak up. They're quick to speak up, and they say we're somehow invading their constitutional rights. So, and you know, once you get on that argument, it's just time to walk away. We'll leave them alone. Y'all have at it. We've had one of our favorite little restaurants, a guy that we like to patronize, and his food is good. They just won't. I mean, they wear a mask sometimes. Sometimes they don't. But we just don't go there anymore. And where I used to get my hair cut, those people there, they're just not going to wear a mask. So I've got somebody else cutting my hair now. And I always call them and I say, I'm coming. Y'all got your mask on, and they're happy to do it.
What about, you know, as far as government policy, we could preach personal responsibility. I think that's important. But, you know, we're talking about government mandates and should the government impose the mask mandate? Should they impose all these other things? And then even to talk about shutting things down, if it comes to that, is that something that should still be on the table?
No, I can't see that. I mean, just about devastated our economy already. One of the things we learned is what happens when you do that stay-at-home order. And obviously, it appears to me that the governor's picked up on the unpopularity of that. So we go back to personal responsibility. And that restaurant that we used to go to, I don't go to, well, they've lost a little income, but that's their choice. They wear a mask, they get the money back. They don't wear a mask, they're not getting my money. They get somebody else's, I guess. But shut down from a business standpoint, that is not acceptable. We're not at that point yet.
Could you foresee a circuit? Because here's the thing, there's a big debate on this program about what will happen in the presidential election, but I'm thinking it's going to be President Joe Biden probably, and he has a COVID-19 task force, a couple of members of it that want to shut everything down for 6 to 8 weeks. Not sure that the federal government has the power to do that, but I could certainly see a circumstance where they would pressure states to do so, that it's not totally out of the realm of possibilities.
Yeah, I wonder why Biden has appointed this task force. When he was on the campaign trail, he said he had a solution, said he knew what to do. But I guess that's what a lot of folks do. Well, I'll just appoint some other people to go figure out what to do. So I have no clue what Joe Biden's going to do. And I think he'd probably be shooting himself in the foot to go in there and try to shut this country down. That's not going to work. There is going to be some serious resistance to that.
Well, you look at, like, and then you could take these for what they're worth, but at least when they pull Alabama, and they pull Alabama likely voters, and it's fascinating because the plurality of people, about 40% or a little more than that, say Governor Ivey's doing the right thing. She has the right measures in place. The mask ordinance and all of that is good. We're supporting that. And you take these other people who disagree with what Ivey's doing. It's not anti-maskers. It's not. It's about half and half of, like you say, the people that see it as a violation of their rights. But then there's another segment out there that don't think Ivey is going far enough at all. That there's that impulse from the far, far left that want her to do more, be more, more. Active in that capacity, so it's just for now. It seems like what she has in place is kind of the right thing. Is that what do you think?
I tell you what I think. I'm sticking with Governor Ivey. All these experts that we've got out there that actually they got a job. They do. They go to work, but suddenly they know all about infectious diseases and the transmission of those things and the severity of them. I'm not paying any attention to them. Who's putting their yay and nay in on these polls? What do they know about the transmission of disease? Well, they don't know anything. I mean, they certainly didn't go to school to study that. And I assure you that Governor Ivey is getting input from the people that are at least trained and knowledgeable in this area. And whatever she's coming up with, I'm going to stick with it until it's really something strange, and she's not going to do that. But I would say she's getting as good of advice as anybody is going to get out there. And all these other people that are self-made experts on infectious diseases, well, just let them talk.
Well, I mean, I guess it's just interesting to watch public opinion for what it's worth. I got a question here from a texter. The therapeutics for COVID-19, hydroxychloroquine, did you use any of that, or were you administered any of that? And what do you think of that?
I'll tell you about hydroxychloroquine. I took that. I was supposed to be taking it every day when I was in Vietnam. That was an anti-malarial medication that was used. But no, during my stay in the hospital, remdesivir was a part of the treatment. Anticoagulants were part of the treatment. Steroids were part of the treatment. And let's see, it was something else. But in any event, there is a protocol that's been clearly established, and it was used on me and was very successful. I'm just ever so grateful that I wasn't like Senator Price, who had COVID back in March when they didn't know what to do. You know, I talked to some people in the COVID unit at St. Vincent's Hospital in Birmingham that had been there for 8 months, and they said, when they put this unit together, and this is a physician, and they moved me up here to take participate in this thing, he said, we didn't know what to do. So if there was anything good about getting this, at least I got it after an effective protocol had been developed and they had a chance to experiment on other folks. So I came out pretty good. I'm just glad I didn't have it way back when. But they do have, there is a treatment therapy program that is very well known, and it's obviously, it's not 100% effective. We've had several thousand deaths here in Alabama, but we've also had tens of thousands to survive this.
Joined by State Senator Jim McClendon here on the program. Also, in your role in the Alabama Senate, you're heading this, I guess, this reapportionment effort that's going to have to happen next year. It doesn't sound like we're going to get any real any specifics anytime soon on where that's going, that the Census Bureau is going to be somewhat delayed in putting out its findings of what you guys in the legislature are going to work with. You think that's accurate?
Yeah. The Census Bureau, their life and their schedule has been disrupted by the COVID virus, just like everybody else's life has been disrupted. Now, our current thought, not fact, our current thought is we may very well have the data by April 1st as opposed to December 31st of 2020. We're talking April 1st of 2021 now, obviously a 3 or 4 months delay. So, and that, by the way, that prediction is based on in the Navy, we call that scuttlebutt. That's the information you picked up around the water cooler. So for that reason, the regular session of 2021, which starts February 2nd, will be gone or almost gone by the time we get the data. So, which means the legislature, it appears, will be going into a special session. And right now, I'm predicting August or September of 2021, we'll have a special session to deal with redistricting. But the date that they're going to have that information ready has changed quite a few times, and it could very well change again. Once we get the data, and their plan is to do a data dump for the entire country, and once we get it, it'll take at least a week to get the data in the computer system, and then we'll be able to start drawing districts with accuracy. And of course, one of the most interesting aspects is will we have 7 congressional districts like we do now, or will our failure to increase in population at the rate other states have increased, will we go to 6 congressional districts? That's going to be now, I'm going to tell you right now, I am not, and we are not drawing any 6 congressional district maps.
So, I guess you're optimistic about keeping that 7th seat?
Folks said that I am optimistic about it. And more than that, if we start drawing maps for 6, it just creates so much uproar. We're going to avoid that till it's a fact. You got 6. If it comes out to a fact, we got 6 districts, then our work will be cut out for us and very clearly defined.
Senator, we've got to leave it there, but we're out of time. But as always, thank you so much for making time for us this morning down here.
Yeah, lots of fun. Always enjoy it.
All right. That was State Senator Jim McClendon on the program.